The text is from the Gospel reading, chapter 5 of Matthew 17 to 20. Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter nor the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Here ends the text. Our text contains a unique feature. It has the only sentence in all the New Testament with two subordinate until clauses. The insert does a good job of translating it. Until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter nor the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. If you listen closely, you'll be on pins and needles until you hear this sermon. The first until clause should chill you to the bone. Until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter or least stroke of the pen will by any means disappear from the law. That's nothing but condemnation. Condemned is a doable law. Condemned are all those who explain the law in such a way that they keep it. Jesus gets into this later in the Sermon on the Mount. He says you're guilty of murder even if you hate someone. You're guilty of adultery even if you just lust after a woman. We say, well, we just got hard feelings. We say, we're just a girl watcher. Jesus says, you're a damned guilty sinner. What you don't realize is how silly we look when we try to cut down the law to our size. We're like boys with a movable basketball goal. When I was growing up, the basketball goals were set and didn't move from the 10 feet high standard. From 5 years to 8 years old, tough if you couldn't get the ball through the hoop. When my boys were young, all the goals were movable. From 10 feet regulation all the way down to 5 feet. Now you might think that was a good thing. And for the most part, it was, until they got to dunking. They would lower the basket so they could easily dunk the ball. And when they did, they whooped and hollered and pumped their chests as if they were Kobe Bryant slam dunking the winning basket. They were none of those things. And the silly part wasn't that they were having fun, but that they were acting as if they had actually dunked a basketball on a regulation goal. And the silly and sinful part with us is that we think God is pleased with us because we do our best or keep His law to our standards. We turn that 1 John 3 text around. We think if our hearts don't condemn us, neither does God. Jesus says, until heaven and earth disappear, not one dot of an I or one cross of a T shall disappear from the law ever. Condemned is anyone who thinks love or special situations provide exceptions to the law. We could go again to the sixth commandment. TV tells our kids, as long as they love each other, sex outside of marriage is okay. We tell ourselves that cohabitating couples loving each other isn't the fornication that God says it is. And our society tells us that love makes gay marriage acceptable. Yes, there are easy pickings in the sixth commandment to expose those who hide sins that God condemns. But such things are just as easy to find in the first three commandments. Loving parent can't help but worry about their kids. And normally, I wouldn't be in favor of Christians praying together with non-Christians, but this was a once-in-a-lifetime situation. And you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. We just can't get it through our heads that the God who commanded that the man gathering wood on the Sabbath and the boy who took the name of the Lord in vain, the God who commanded both of those people be stoned, is our God. The God who wouldn't allow Moses to enter the promised land because he struck a rock rather than talk to it, that's our God. The God who banished Adam and Eve from paradise and condemned them to eternal hell for a bite of fruit is our God. The God of creation in the Old Testament church is our God. Yes, that's another thing the first until clause condemns. Those who have, it's the 21st century as an excuse. Even though heaven and earth haven't disappeared, they think that at least some of those jots and some of those tittles of the law, well, they've been worn away by now because, hey, it's the 21st century. Back at the beginning of the 80s, there's a popular pastor in the LCMS who produced a cassette tape series entitled Preparing Laymen for the 80s. I thought it was stupid. What was so different about the 80s? I'm sure someone is doing something now with Twitter, with Facebook, or some other social media to prepare a layman for the 21st century. Well, God declares he changes not, because our world has embraced a generic supreme being religion, abortion, living together, homosexuality, and truth as an individual choice. Because our 21st century has embraced all of that, it doesn't mean our God has or ever will. The law works wrath. The law always accuses. So people always look for ways out from under it. Make it doable. Make your actions acceptable. Make it inapplicable to your times. But look around you. Are heaven and earth still here? Still see sky or stars above you? Still feel the earth beneath your feet? Then all of the law, down to the very least part of the least letter, is still in force and still applies to you. Until. That's right, there's a second until clause. Jesus says, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of the pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. So, has everything in that law been done? At Christmas, we celebrate that God sent His only Son into the world to be born under the law to redeem those under the law. Jesus accomplished, finished, completed, fulfilled all the laws. So much as a missing of a dot or the crossing of a T, missing those meant the law, in the law meant damnation for you. James says so. He says, whosoever keeps the whole law and offends at one point is guilty of all the law. Well, Jesus got every jot and every tittle. That one demand of God, that one requirement of the law, that one commandment did Jesus miss. His dying words could be, it is finished. Because it was. The law was accomplished. Note, however, that Jesus doesn't just say that he came to fulfill the law, but the prophets too. The prophets predicted that the Lamb of God, the suffering servant, the seed of the woman, would come. They predicted his innocent life, but they also predicted a particularly guilty and gruesome death. The law doesn't only command certain things be done, it demands that certain things be suffered. Your conscience tells you that much. It tells you not only what you should do, but what you should suffer for not doing it. The punishment for your sins is that other shoe that must drop. That is often worse. It's like the cartoon or sitcom when one character gets to hit the other with no warning. The weight is agonizing. The one to be hit can't stand the weight. The law keeps us ever waiting till the other shoe drops. That other shoe drop kicked Jesus into hell itself, where for 3 dread hours on the cross, Jesus fulfilled all punishments that the law demanded and all that the prophets predicted. Not the smallest letter of the law or the least stroke of the pen disappears from the law until. Until what? Until you do your version of the law? Until you have a good excuse not to do it? Until the 21st century dawns and nullifies the law? No. Until everything is accomplished. And Jesus says it was at his death, and his Father showed he agreed by raising Jesus from the dead. Now, what does St. Paul say in Romans 10, chapter 4? Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to all that believe. The rest of our text brings the full force of this truth home. Until the 12th of Never is one of the great love songs ever written. It plays on the expression 12th of Never. That's a figure of speech to express something that will never ever happen. That's the flavor of this last part of our text, which in the insert begins with anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments. What the insert misses is that this part really begins with the word therefore. What Jesus says in this sentence is related to and follows from those two until clauses. The insert also misses the fact that Jesus isn't talking about someone breaking a commandment, but literally loosing one. See how this fits? People who loose commandments appear to provide some relief to burdened souls. The Metropolitan Church right here in Austin looses the sixth commandment as it pertains to homosexuality. But they're not alone. Virtually every mainland church accepts living together in homosexuality. Again, that's not the worst. Most mainline churches teach that God has many names and can be approached by any faith. People in such churches, even if they have this feeling that their leaders are selectively teaching the scriptures, they still call those leaders least in the kingdom of heaven. Then you have those churches that are champions of the law. These spit hellfire and brimstone. They emphasize those jots and tittles. You won't find these churches practicing or teaching anything but full-on obedience to the law. They don't embrace the sins of the 21st century or any other for that matter. Even outsiders have to call them great in the kingdom of heaven. What I've just put before you, that's the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes could find their way around any law that they had a mind to. And the Pharisees, well, they were regarded as champions of the law. The people thought both those groups were certainly in the kingdom of heaven. Whether called least or great, they were in the kingdom. But Jesus closes our text by saying, in effect, until the 12th of Never, they will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Put it all together now. Those who loosen the law and those who practice and teach every jot and tittle, they have two things in common. They are in some form or fashion called in the kingdom of heaven. But two, until the 12th of Never, they won't enter. To actually enter the kingdom of heaven, it takes more righteousness than can be gotten from the law. Outwardly, the law will allow you to call someone least or great in the kingdom of heaven based on how they keep it. But actually entering heaven, that's another matter. Whoever misses the smallest letter or least stroke of the pen of the law can in no way enter heaven. The entrance is closed until all of the law has been accomplished. And accomplished it was by Jesus' innocent life and guilty death. Until we come to faith in Jesus, we either loosen the law or we champion the law. And in either case, it will be until the 12th of Never that we enter the kingdom of heaven. Relying on the law to save you, you have to wait until the heavens and earth disappear. But relying on Jesus, you only have to wait until he has accomplished everything in the law. The crucifix, the empty tomb, water that regenerates, words that forgive, and bread that is his body, and wine that is his blood, they all shout, done, accomplished, finished. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus and the life everlasting. Amen. We